Stand by. Let's go. Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to Project Action on Podcast One. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and we got an awesome guest today. We're going into the archives, about a year deep. This is a little bit of a best of, but some of you may have missed it the first time around. It was right when the pandemic hit. Did an amazing sit-down interview with Supercross legend Chad Reed. CR22, yeah, he's the man on the show this week. You definitely don't want to miss it. Chad Reed, always bringing his A-game to these interviews. Good friend of mine, and stoked to have him on board, on here, on the show, talking about his illustrious career and what's next for Mr. Chad Reed. I am Jim Beaver. Social media is at JimBeaver15. The show is Project Action. You can get it on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify. Rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff over there on Apple Podcasts. I've got another show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available same places. Also, SiriusXM Radio, Channel 217 on the weekends. So, yeah, getting the formalities out of the way, let's tell you about a couple of our amazing partners in this show because, let me tell you, we couldn't do it without them, that's for sure. You know what? Car waxes have come a really long way, and over the last few years, Meguiar's has launched the next generation of protective products with their hybrid ceramic platform that's specifically geared towards the do-it-yourselfers. Started 2 years back, Meguiar's introduced the hybrid ceramic spray wax. It's in a bright blue bottle. Its advanced SiO2 hybrid technology delivers ceramic wax protection and durability beyond traditional waxes. It's incredibly easy to use. Simply wash your car, spray on Meguiar's hybrid ceramic spray wax, then just rinse off. No rubbing, no curing, buffing, or mess. Provides extreme water beating action, and the product's been flying off the shelves. Then last year, knowing some prefer a more traditional style application, Meguiar's launched a liquid version, the Meguiar's Hybrid Ceramic Liquid Wax. Its long-lasting ceramic protection is in an easy-to-use wax. Seals the paint for long-lasting protection against the elements, delivers extreme water beating action, easy to use, applying like a traditional liquid wax with no wax residue. Meguiar's also launched a ceramic hybrid spray detailer for in-between boosted maintenance. Removes contaminants like dust, fingerprints, and those evil bird droppings. Boosts gloss and enhances protection. Also contains SiO2 hybrid ceramic protection. Achieve a just wash look by gently removing fresh contaminants between regular washes before they have a chance to bond. And this year, as they've expanded the line, include Meguiar's new hybrid ceramic wash and wax, a bright orange bottle, unique two liquid system together in one bucket that delivers results unlike anything you've ever experienced before. It's blended with slick, low sudsing surfactants that gently lift and wash away dirt and grime. Its SiO2 boost is a wax additive that delivers instant water beating protection. Works in tandem, and you get a slick and clean vehicle that beads water like crazy. Optimize your results washing experience with Meguiar's new hybrid wash mitt that's dual-sided for gentle washing and added booster wax. Meguiar's hybrid wash mitt is sold separately. Now, Meguiar's has a hybrid ceramic solution for everyone, including you. For incredible water beating and protection and durability beyond traditional waxes, it's ceramic made easy. It's Meguiar's. And, you know, we've got another partner been with us since day one. And, you know, that partner is Geico. And you know what? I'm sure you own or rent your home, but it's really hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you've already had so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. Is Geico easy? Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. I've also got a personal sponsor, my good friends at Manscaped. Make sure and head over to manscaped.com and use the coupon code JimBeaver, and that's going to get you 20% off and free shipping. That is right, manscaped.com, coupon code JimBeaver. It's going to get you 20% off plus free shipping. Yeah, it is time to groom. Summer's upon us, and you know what? Manscaped can help you out. Once again, manscaped.com, JimBeaver is the code. 20% off plus free shipping. With that, let's jump into this best of from a year ago with my good friend and Supercross legend, Chad Reed.
I'd like to welcome Chad Reed back to the show. Chad, I'm trying to think back last time we had you on the show, man, and it was back when you had your own Supercross team back in, what, the 2-2 Motorsports days. Man, it's been a while, buddy. Well, welcome back.
Yeah, good to be back. It's probably yeah, what, pre-2015, that's when we shut down 2-2. So, yeah, man, good to be back on the show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I know, man, we got a lot to cover. Obviously, this year's been a little bit interesting. I guess we should open up by saying, Supercross is back, man. I know, this one, we'll talk about your retirement here in a little bit, but you got a couple of rounds of racing to go. What, 7-8 rounds we got lined up there in Salt Lake City after a 2-month break? I mean, you've been staying in the gym, staying fit, right? Because that's got to be a pretty tough layoff to all of a sudden just take 2 months off in the middle of the season and go back and jump on a dirt bike.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been, interesting times for sure. I mean, it's not often do you get to do a reset button, what have we got, 7 races to go?
Yeah.
And obviously there's just been so much unclear. Like, initially we were told we're going to go back October, September, October. Now we're going back at the end of May. So I'm excited, to be honest with you. Like, I had some kind of niggling little injuries that I was dealing with throughout the season. So I didn't get to come into the season, as prepared as I really wanted to. And, I started to get a little bit of traction, and then I actually re-broke some ribs in Phoenix Supercross. So the beginning of the season was a real kind of a bit of a drag, to be honest. I couldn't really get my head above water. And I feel like this break, I've just used it. I wouldn't say that I'm in the best shape of my life. But more than anything, just I've used it to heal up and then kind of get myself where I got my base fitness and health back. So it's been a nice little reset. I'm really excited about going back racing and getting back to what we call normal, going and putting on a helmet. And unfortunately we won't have fans, which is going to be really kind of strange, I think. But, I think that once the gate drops, everything's going to, start feeling a little bit more normal.
Yeah. Well, and I guess, you say normal, and then I guess my next question is going to be, obviously Supercross is a grind, man. It's, weekend after weekend after weekend after weekend, just back to back to back to back. And the only other motorsport we really see that in is NASCAR, And, my question is, now all of a sudden, we've got 7 rounds left, but not only back to back weekends, but we're throwing a race in the middle of the week as well. I mean, how does that throw everything in a tailspin? Because you've got your routine midseason where, you race Saturday night, you travel Sunday. You have your routine of training and getting on the bike and things like that. I mean, this kind of throws everything you've known for your entire career out the window, right, with these 2 races a week.
Totally. And then I think I hope that kind of plays into my, more my strength than anything. I'm not a – like, I don't – I know a lot of people that I've been around over the years, a lot of people – get really caught up in their routine, and if they don't ride midweek or they don't ride multiple days a week, they get a little bit thrown off of, their normal, and then they kind of struggle on the weekend. I go more of a little bit, if I feel like riding, I go ride. If I don't, I kind of just do my gym work or whatever it is, So for me, it's always been racing and riding has always been exciting to me. And I've always tried to keep it like that, and maybe why I'm still around at 38 years old. So, I hope that this works for me in the fact that, we get to go riding. There will be no riding during the week. We'll race, Sundays and Wednesdays. We're going to try to make a trip out of it. I'm taking my family out to, Utah. We're going to rent a house in Park City. And, at the end of the day, this is my retirement tour, and you take the fans away from racing, and that's kind of everything why I was doing a tour in the beginning. So, so for me, it's about having my family there. Unfortunately, my kids won't be at the races because no one under 18 is allowed. But just having them there and during the week and, showing them a new place and location will be fun for us. It'll be kind of our summer vacation before summer.
Yeah, well, I'm renting a house in Park City. I'm going, well, you're going to be neighbors there with Ken Block. I'm sure he's got some toys and stuff to keep you guys occupied since you can't ride in the middle of the week, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think might lean on Ken and see what toys he's got to play with. We really should just bust out his rally car and go drive that thing, I think.
He's got a bunch of them there, too. That's the thing. I've been up there and done some shows from there, and he's got some stuff in hiding that people don't see. And I go in that back room, I'm like, Oh, man, we need to have some fun. You need to bring this out more often. He's got a lot of toys people don't know
about. Yeah, totally. I've been there myself, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, you know, all that being said, you know, you announced your retirement at the end of last year and said, hey, this is going to be it. I think, I'm excited you came back for one final season, things like that. I mean, kind of I want to talk about, you know, kind of your announcement, because you're retiring from Supercross and from dirt bikes, but it left the door open. You said, look, like I found something that still scratches my itch, you know, and that's racing cars. I mean, how did that kind of all evolve? And I know you've done some stuff, you know, in Lamborghinis and things like that. You were out at 24 Hours of Daytona this year. But, I mean, how did that all get put together? And, I mean, obviously, you know, we see with Supercross riders, it seems like everybody, you know, McGrath's had to find that itch somewhere. And it seems like you go down the list and everybody's had to find that itch after Supercross. And it seems like car racing, that you found it, man.
Yeah, no, I did for sure. And it really fueled the, you know, the thoughts of, you know, moving onto something different. You know, for the longest time, a lot of people were starting to ask, you know, when you start getting into your early 30s to mid 30s, everyone starts asking the question, when is retirement, you know, an option? And up until last summer, when I did the Lamborghini Super Trofeo series, it actually was never on my mind. Like, I just loved riding my dirt bike. I enjoyed it. It was my every thought that I had. And then, you know, suddenly this Lamborghini thing and racing sports cars, it started consuming my every thought. And at that point, I just acknowledged that I felt like that was the changing of the guard for me. And I felt that I was, you know, I was a lot of the things that fueled my racing and, you know, kept it fun for me all these years. A lot of those same things were now all thoughts about how do I go faster? How do I get better? How do I learn? How do I understand the balance of the race car? You know, analyzing data, all these crazy things that you have access to from a sports car world. And then suddenly I was just like, you know what, this is my science, and I've enjoyed my career fully. And I felt like I got the most out of it. And now it's time to move on and do something different. This whole pandemic is obviously throwing a little bit of a wrench in it, and, you know, sponsorship and money and things like that are obviously, you know, a little bit, you know, everybody's unsure what's going to be the outcome on the backside of this. So the hope and the goal is to go Lamborghini racing again this year, after Supercross, but there's no set in stone, plan at this point.
Yeah. Well, you know, and talking about car racing, I mean, is part of it because you've accomplished pretty much everything you can on a dirt bike, you know, outside of going and racing in Baja or Dakar or something. But, I mean, Supercross, you're a champion. You've got, you know, what, fourth on the all-time win list. I mean, you know, you've accomplished pretty much everything you can do on a dirt bike. You know, is you looking at this car racing thing going, oh, man, this is like being a rookie again. This is starting from scratch. Like, I get to learn everything again, you know. And to me, it's like, you know, you seem like a guy who always wants to learn, who always wants to get better. And you topped out in Supercross, and now it's like, oh, but here's this door over here, and I can go back from the, you know, start all over again. This is kind of exciting, you know?
Yeah, and I think that the one thing that I love so much about my sport of, you know, motorcycles and Supercross is, you know, though by numbers people view you as older, I don't think that 38 is old. You know, I think that you're just basically finding out who you are and what you are, what you can do in the world. But, for me, I think that Supercross keeps you young, you know, like you're forever around young people. So, you know, keeping up and, you know, working out and doing all these crazy things that you got to do to race Supercross keeps you grounded and young, I think. So for me, I got plenty of years ahead of me on that. The racing car thing just, it gives me the itch to get out and learn. And I think the racing is the easy part, because all my years of racing, you know, I've been, 30 plus years of racing under my belt, cars or bikes, for the most part, the way the mind works and how you go racing, it's all the same. It's just learning new things, you know. On a motorcycle, there's a lot of things that I naturally do because I've been doing it since I was 3.5 years old. So when you do it in a car, you do it and you pick it up, but it takes understanding it first. The balance of the race car and the weight and the transition, On a motorcycle, I can move my body around. In a race car, I'm strapped into a car seat, and you know, the only tools I have are the steering wheel, a throttle, and a brake. Those are the things that, you know, allow me to maneuver around a racetrack in a car. So just kind of understanding those things and getting a full understanding and grasp of that has been, you know, a fun challenge for me and something that I want to learn more about.
But I guess one of the things that I guess surprised me, it, not that you were going car racing, because I think, you know, there's been a lot of guys transition from supercross and motocross into car racing, but you going the road racing route in sports car racing, I mean, a lot of guys, it would have been, you go from dirt bikes and you kind of move over and you start doing short course or off-road trucks or rallycross or rally or something in the dirt. You know, UTV racing has become big, but like you to go, that route that you did in sports cars, I mean, what was the specific draw there versus, say, you know, going, you know, rally or off-road racing?
For me, like, I've always had a passion for the roads. You know, when you look at my childhood and where I grew up in Australia, and, you know, some of the greatest of greats, you know, road racing world all came out of Australia. You know, Mick Doohan, Wayne Gardner, Casey Stoner, you know, Anthony Gobert, all these people that were, you know, pre me and my, you know, kind of my generation that I looked up to. I, at one point, I thought my ticket out of Australia to, you know, to take on the world was actually going road racing. Mom and dad put some cold water on that and kind of dashed it. And obviously the motorcycle route didn't end up being a bad choice, but I've always had a passion for the road. And, I feel like I've lived a life in dirt, you know, like when I think of retiring and my wife and kids going hanging out at events, you know, post motorcycles, I don't know that going and hanging out in short course dirt is my ideal. Actually, it's not mine, but it's definitely, I can promise you, not my wife's ideal way of retiring. So I think that, more of that, just a change of, we want something different. I love rally. I would choose rally over off-road trucks all day long. I don't know why. I have a passion for rally as well. I was really fortunate 2 years ago. I got to do Monza Rally. And that was really fun. But yeah, that's really it. Just really something different, something that I've always had a passion for. And now, you know, obviously I wouldn't go pursue a road racing career at this point. With age, get a cage, they tell me. So we're going that route.
Yeah. Well, all that being said, I mean, you'd mentioned rally cars. I know you've been having a little bit of fun on iRacing. How did that all come together? Because it seems like, I know I had you in one of my off-road events. I mean, you know, I know our good friend TP, you and him have, you and Travis got a little bit of a rivalry going on. I mean, how did the whole iRacing thing open up?
Yeah, the iRacing thing, I got invited to the IRX, championship on iRacing. And then really just one thing led to another. Then obviously I was like, man, that really sounds fun. Like, there's no racing. There really wasn't this is going back 8 weeks ago. There was no, you know, short-term plan to go racing. So I basically, you know, scrambled and we got a sim together, and one thing led to another. It was just, for me, the iRacing platform is such a rad platform. I mean, to think of somebody who grew up in Australia and I can go, you know, choose a V8 supercar and go drive it at all these iconic tracks all over the world, I just think that you're kind of giving, like, you're opening the world up to be endless, you know? It's like, you know, to go drive a real V8 supercar all over, you know, at Spa or Daytona International Speedway or something like that. You know, just last night in Australia, the V8 series actually raced their pro series at Charlotte Motor Speedway and Daytona. Lando Norris was a celebrity driver in it. And so I just think that you're really opening, you're broadening the gap. You know, the huge gap from Australia to the rest of the world is so small now. You know, you can, it's a click of a button, you can jump in a car, and that's how it really kind of led one thing to another. Travis and I have always had this, we have a great relationship. We're really good friends and been friends for a long time. And it's always about, he's never beat me on a dirt bike. So it's always, he kind of considers himself more of a four wheel guy. And so that's continued into the four wheel online racing now.
Yeah, I think it's funny because, every single time you watch a race, it's just all Travis is, I got to beat Chatterine. He doesn't care if he finishes 20th as long as you're 21st.
Exactly, and that's, we've kind of created our own little league within it, and, now it's kind of like we're doing this LCQ league, and basically, Connor Daly, Alexander Rossi, Jane Chancliffe, Travis, myself, Bilko, a few of the group of, guys that we were basically just, it started out having a good laugh on Discord, and one thing led to another. Now we're actually, your event was really what got us going when we were doing your off-road truck thing. And, I was on there for hours. We did, I think we did two tracks and we raced Pro 2, then Pro 4, then Pro 2, Pro 4. And yeah. that really fired up, all of us, like just, going from different vehicles, like going from a Pro 2 to a Pro 4 was so different and so unique. And so, I love that it's basically endless on what you can achieve on that side of it.
Yeah, and it's funny too because you don't even realize it, but you're a little bit of a gateway into the whole iRacing thing for people. So, this is actually going back before my event that you came and did. I text out a bunch of buddies, and Travis one of them, and things like that. And then you got brought in by them. But I text Toby Price, who he and I are good friends. I said, Toby, you want to do this? He goes, man, I'd love to. I'm doing some V8 supercar stuff. But he's like, they're loaning me a sim rig to be able to do it. He's like, I don't own one. I won't be able to get one for that weekend. And then you race, and then Toby, he starts texting me. He's like, well, I didn't know Chad Reed was racing. He's like, I want to race Chad Reed. And I just start laughing. That's I'm like, funny. We're going to have you and Toby.
Toby and I just did a race. We just did a celebrity race. It was actually brutal for me. I don't know if I need to wait until racing's over. But in the summertime when I've got no racing commitments, I want to sign up for more. But I did a celebrity race at Bathurst in a V8 supercar in Australia. And from what I understand, the TV ratings and everything was through the roof. I mean, it was like kind of the who's who of Australian sporting, old and young, current, past. Mick Doohan, like some of my childhood heroes were in it, and Toby and I we got to do some battling. I ended up second overall. I don't know where Toby actually ended up. He may still be upside down. I don't know if you've ever seen any highlights on it, but you should check it out. It's hilarious. Toby flipped and unfortunately didn't get flipped back over, so he just stayed on his he just stayed upside down the whole race waiting for someone else to hopefully hit him.
What I think's funny too is talking about that. I mean, let's talk about Australia a bit. I think a lot of Americans don't realize how big motorsports are in Australia. I mean, whether you're talking motorcycles or you're talking, I guess V8 supercars, which is huge. And I think a lot of people in the States recognize V8 supercars at this point. But I mean, there's a whole motorsports culture in Australia it's massive, man. And I don't think a lot of people here in the United States, they actually realize how big it actually is in Australia.
Totally. And, obviously America has, you got 300 plus million people, where Australia, we've only got 22 million people. So, the demand for everything is so much lower. And so therefore, like, our motorsport is actually quite big because, I think that, we don't have an NBA to compete with. We don't have the NFL. We have an NFL, equivalent. We have kind of two football leagues down there. Soccer's kind of hit and miss down there. But as far as like, we didn't have the NBA or the MLB and things like that to compete with. So motorsport is on equal par. And though NASCAR is big here in the US, when you think of an NBA or the NFL or the MLB, it's not quite there, where we don't have that, competition. So yeah, like motorsport's always been a huge, huge part of, the Australian culture and what I love, so much about it.
Well, I look at things too, I take a step back from a fan standpoint, and I look at it from that standpoint, but I'm like, you look at what's come out of Australia in the last 20 years. I mean, you've got obviously one of the most accomplished supercross riders of all time. You got Toby Price, who, he's still hitting the prime of his career and he's killing it at Dakar. You got Mark Webber, who, is going to go down as one of the all-time, Formula One, favorites, and he's won a ton of races, And I look, you talk about, the smaller population of Australia, and I look and I go, but look at the talent that's coming out of Australia with that smaller population. It's insane, Chad.
It really is crazy. And then I don't know how closely you follow, you know, the racing world, but, you know, like obviously the feeder series to F1 is F3. And if you look at the grid, the amount of Australians is insane. Like, it's actually quite exciting. You know, and I have to be honest, I don't, you know, follow F3. But a good friend of mine, Mick Doohan's son, Jack Doohan, who just, I think he's like 17, 18 years old, you know, is basically getting his feet wet and starting it, you know, trying to head towards the, you know, the goal of being in F1. And obviously he has his dad that's, you know, is one of the, not only Australia's greats, but I mean, he's considered a great within the world of racing. You know, he's got Red Bull behind him and stuff like that. So yeah, I obviously follow that now. And I just realized the other day, I was kind of checking out the entry list and I'm like, wow, the amount of Australians in F3, you know, that are on path to try to go to Formula One is unbelievable. So, pretty exciting times.
Yeah, it definitely is. Well, let's circle back as we kind of close out here and talk about these, you know, next seven races, I guess, in Supercross, man. I mean, obviously, you know, you're prepared. You got the family. You guys are going to be heading to Salt Lake for a better part of a month. But, you know, what are the goals here? I mean, you know, obviously you're coming in fresh. You know, you think you, you know, what are the odds here we can see maybe Chad Reed sneak on a podium here to cap things off?
You know, I think first things first, I think to, you know, obviously the pipe dream is always to be on the podium, right? That's the ultimate of our sport. And, you know, I've been able to do that. So, you know, more than anybody in the history of the sport, to be honest with you. But, you know, at this point, the way the season's gone, I'll be super excited to just be back into the pointy end of the pack and, you know, riding the way I want to. That's the goal for me, you know, like, do I want to be on the podium? Absolutely. But, you know, if you rewind 8 weeks, you know, I was struggling to, you know, get into the top 12. So, at this point, I feel like we've made progress. You know, I feel healthy again. I feel like my fitness is, you know, is, I wouldn't say it's like at the 100% where it needs to be, like as far as the big scheme of things, but I feel healthy again and I feel excited. And that's the biggest thing for me. So I want to concentrate on getting good starts, get up front, and then just putting myself in positions to capitalize on, you know, on all the things that I'm aware of that you need to do. So I think if we can do that, one thing will lead to another, and I think we'll get the old Chad back. It'll be nice.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously we say retirement, but we all know it's always kind of a loose concept. I mean, any outliers out there where you're like, oh, it would be fun to go and do like a straight rhythm or, you know, something like that, you know, where you got your eye on, it's like, yeah, maybe I'd come back and do something like that.
Yeah, for me, I think, like, it needs to be very clear, and I've said it in other interviews. My retirement is my retirement from full-time racing. I love motorcycle racing and the thought of, you know, seven races from now, that being my last ever motorcycle race is something that I think is a dream. Like, it's never going to happen. I think that, you know, my short and long-term goal is to be able to race a motorcycle as long as I can. I no longer have the drive, the motivation, or the desire to race 17 races in 18 weeks anymore. But I certainly enjoy riding my dirt bike, and I still enjoy getting out and working out, and, you know, whatever. So, you know, the straight rhythm events, maybe one-off supercross events here and there, I still want to be able to participate in those things. So, yeah, though you won't see me on a, you know, week-to-week basis, I surely want to, you know, be able to play a role and get out and do some motorcycle races.
Awesome. Well, Chad, it's been fun, man. I'm stoked to have you back on the show. And, you know, we'll definitely be tuned into NBC, you know, watching you throw down these last seven races. And, you know, best of luck, man. I'm sure we'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Good to chat.
All right, Chad Reed. Awesome. Love CR22. Love that interview. Love having him on the show. This dude is a legend and always welcome here around these parts. That one from a year ago. Diving into the archives, bringing you one that I thought you might miss. Once again, I'm Jim Beaver. At JimBeaver15 is the social media handle. Check out the show on Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe. And don't forget, if you own or rent your home, it's hard work. But you know what's not? bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. And don't forget, Meguiar's has a hybrid ceramic solution for everyone. They have incredible water beating and protection and durability beyond traditional waxes. It's ceramic made easy. It's Meguiar's. And don't forget, Manscaped.com. Use that code JimBeaver and it's going to get you 20% off and free shipping at Manscaped.com. With that, we will see you guys next week. It sounds like the legend Levi LaValle will be my guest right here on Project Action on Podcast One. Can't wait for that. Can't wait to bring you that interview. And you guys have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time right here on Project Action on Podcast One.
7 years ago, college wrestler Damien Hurd disappeared from a party in Gunnison, Colorado.
Everyone had been drinking or whatever, the usual party scene.
When, how, and why he left are questions I need your help to understand.
Nobody's heard from him.
No, it's just like he disappeared.
From Cold Case Productions and Podcast One, Final Days on Earth, The Life and Death of Damien Hurd. I'm your host, Claire Sanima. Join me April 20th for the season premiere.